In John chapter 2, we read an interesting story. It tells us that on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servant who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. To run out of wine at a wedding was an issue of great importance. It was a humiliating and shameful event. And the two people who stood to suffer the greatest shame didn't even know this miracle took place. The couple, the bride and the groom. I wonder sometimes how many times the Lord has saved you and I from a place of struggling, suffering, with shame and loss. Because of what? Because of a time in life we fell short. And that's what's going on in this passage. They fell short. There wasn't enough wine. In that culture, to run out of wine was probably the worst thing that could happen to you. How would you like to have been the wedding, or everybody talked about for years, where they ran out of provisions? To run out of provision at a Middle Eastern wedding was... I'm trying to convey this because for you and I, it's not that big of a deal. We'll just run down to the store if we run out of something and pick it up. You know, hey, we're out of milk. We didn't get enough meat. We need to run down and pick it up. But for those people, they couldn't. And it was the worst shame, because when you have a guest come under your roof, it is the most important thing for you to take care of your guest, even to the point, get this, of laying down your life. Yeah. And that is still a tradition in Middle Eastern homes today. You go and break bread with someone, Jew and Arab, and while you are in their home, you are under their protection. Interesting kind of a concept. But, the worst of this situation, and the rabbis, by the way, used to say, a wedding without wine, there's no joy. And it was such an issue. Can you hear the rabbi saying that? Without wine, there's no joy. Or something like that. I don't do a very good Jewish accent, but... apparently it was so serious that even Mary came to Jesus. Mary and Jesus at this particular point had no official status there at the wedding to do anything, yet she was so horrified by the fact that the wine was gone, that she came to Jesus and said, "They're out of wine. They're out." And he responds by saying, "You know, what's that to me?" But I don't know what translation you have, what you're reading out of. I obviously read it here this morning out of the New International Version. The New King James reads it this way: "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" And while that is a translation of the words, it doesn't really give us the emphasis of what Jesus was saying, because you have to hear the tone of one's voice. More than likely, he was saying, "You don't really understand what's going on here. It's not my time to be brought out into the open in terms of them seeing who I am, but just hang tough and let me handle this thing in my own way." And that's apparently what Mary picked up on, because she turned to the servants and said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And so he's seeing these huge stone jars that were used for ceremonial washing and cleansing. Jesus told them to take those, fill them up, and then dip some out. Take some out in a dipper and take it to the master of the banquet, who was kind of a cross between a MC and a glorified maitre d', take it to him and let him sample it. And he sampled the wine and he said, wow, this is amazing. This is good wine. You know, most people bring out the good stuff first, and then after people's taste buds have kind of had a little bit of a nip, you know, and they really can't taste much anymore, they bring out the, you know, the rotten stuff. Well, you know, not rotten, but the cheap wine, and nobody can tell the difference, you know. But you've kept the best until last. Shouldn't surprise us, I suppose, when God does a miracle, that he should bring the best out of it. But so, you know, and the couple, you know, the bridegroom, he's probably thinking to himself, you know, gee, I thought we did leave the worst till the end. I don't know what's going on here, you know, necessarily, but just kind of go with it, you know. Well, glad you like it. You know, you're probably thinking, boy, his taste buds are nipped. Because I think we did. No, it's all gone. He doesn't even realize. The wine is all gone. And it's a horrible thing. We're not able to take care of our guests. Oh, here's the wine. He comes up with this wine. And it tells us at the end of this last verse we read here, verse 11, it says, this was the first of the miraculous signs that Jesus performed in Cana. And you'll notice that it says that he thus revealed his glory. And his disciples put their faith in him. But he revealed his glory to a very few people. Mary knew, the disciples knew, the servants who drew the water knew, obviously Jesus himself knew. But beyond that, there's this crowd of people who gathered for this wedding, even though Cana is a small town. By the way, Cana in Galilee is right where Hezbollah bombs are falling right now, where Cana existed. Cana is found about halfway between the Sea of Galilee and Haifa. Small, insignificant village. Probably a fairly insignificant couple who's getting married there that day, but yet Jesus is there and he does something in their lives that benefits them and they aren't even aware. And I thought about that as it relates to my own life a little bit. I thought about times that I was aware of the fact that God saved me from shame and humiliation. And I thought to myself, you know, that's happened. It's happened several times that I can think of. I wonder how many times it's happened that I didn't even know. I think Christians have this interesting sort of a thought process that goes through their mind. And they kind of believe that somehow God is just waiting for them to really show one of their big faults so that he can expose it to everybody in the world, and then we'll all know, you know, what kind of a person you are. You know, oh, that's the real you, huh? Oh, I see that. I guess you kind of had us there for a while, you know. Thought you were kind of a saint, you know. Well, now we know, you know. And I think that there are people who literally live in fear that is going to happen. God's just waiting for an opportunity to expose the worst of the worst inside of you so that everybody can see it. You know what? One of the things we see in this passage is we see that Jesus will bend over backwards to save you, in fact, from shame and humiliation, even in ways that you may not even be aware of. And I think that's part of what this passage is showing us this morning. But I think that there's another part. And I think there's something else the Holy Spirit wants us to see here. And this is important, people. It basically is this. That when we have an area of our life where we fall short, where we just don't have the goods, you know what I mean? And we invite Jesus into that area of our life, his grace produces a work of quality in our lives that we could not have had except for him. Did you notice that when they tasted the wine, they said, this is amazing wine. This is the best wine I've ever had. And the quality of that wine was such that they were amazed, and particularly amazed at the timing of bringing out this kind of wine. Let me tell you why I think this is important. Many of you know that after my first 5 years of being married, Sue and I were in deep trouble. We came after 5 years just a hair's breadth away from getting a divorce. We did not have a good marriage at all. And, you know, to this day, I'm not really sure why we didn't divorce. Because we weren't walking with the Lord. And it was pretty much all over except for the shame and humiliation of calling our parents, calling, you know, our friends and saying, well, it didn't work out, you know. Didn't happen. You know, we gave it a shot, didn't work. But, you know, there was a point where Sue and I basically just gave our lives and our marriage to Jesus. And we really didn't even know what he was going to do with it. We were not people of faith, not in the slightest. In fact, I remember even basically saying to the Lord, I give you my marriage. I don't have a clue what you can do with it, but I give it to you. And if you can make something out of it, great. If you can't, well then, whatever. I mean, that was as much faith as I could really muster up. And I was not a man of faith. I was really a brand new believer. And all I knew is that my marriage was over. For all intents and purposes, my marriage was over. And I likened it not to be overly graphic or even uncouth, as my mother always loves to say. But my marriage was likened to basically a big manure pile. And it smelled. It was not pretty, it smelled, and it wasn't much to look at. And I said to the Lord, you know, if you can do anything with this manure pile that I've made of this marriage relationship, then, you know, then do it. At that particular point, to be completely honest with you, I'm not sure that I anticipated any healing of my marriage. All I knew is that I had just given my heart to Jesus, and if I gave my heart to him, I might as well, you know, give everything to him, and we'll just see what he can do. And so and Sue did the same. What's amazing about it is just like water turned to wine, Jesus stepped into the situation, and he took that, once again, if you'll excuse me, that manure pile, and he made it a beautiful hill, upon which grew the most lovely and fragrant of flowers that we could walk upon and enjoy. And what I'm saying to you is that today, after over 28 years of marriage, I am desperately in love with my wife, and I think she thinks I'm okay. We have a good marriage, but let me say something, lest you think that I'm saying anything about Paul and Sue. I'm saying everything about Jesus. I'm telling you what can happen, what happens when Jesus is allowed into a situation where his grace is allowed to flow, his grace is allowed to move. He brings a quality that you and I couldn't hope to have apart from him. And just like that water, not just turned into wine, turned into the best wine. It's the same sort of a situation where he came in and he didn't just kind of patch us back up, you know, like you do to a bad tire, just waiting for the next blowout. He didn't just patch us up and say, well, you know, there you go. I sure hope that holds, you know. Have a good time. God bless you guys. Well, he wouldn't say God. He'd say, I bless you guys. But, you know, whatever. And have at it and, you know, have a good... He made the whole thing new. And he made it better. Better. And let me tell you something, how many times I have appreciated in the years hence that I've been able to sit down with couples in my own office who come to me with their own marriage issues, and many times they don't know what I have just shared with you. Many times they don't know that I went through what I went through along with Sue, and they'll start talking to me about their marriage, and I can say to them, I know. I know how that feels. I know what it's like to feel like your marriage is all but over. I know what that feels like. I know the pain. I know the humiliation. I know the shame. Let me tell you something else I know. I know the quality of the grace of Jesus Christ when we allow him into our lives to remake those areas where we fall short. And this whole story is all about a shortfall, you know? And what happens when Jesus is allowed, in fact, invited to work in the midst of a shortfall. And so I will ask you this morning, what are those areas? And don't
speak out or raise your hand or anything, but what are those areas, I'm asking, just in the quiet of your own heart, where you know, where the Lord has revealed to you that you fall short? Now, everybody in this room who's married ought to know what that's all about. I'm convinced that God, one of the reasons God created marriage was to keep us humble. Because we recognize in the midst of marriage all the time that we fall short. And it seems to be brought to my attention in living color on a daily basis. And if it's not that, it's something else. My marriage relationship to my children, perhaps my relationship with another person or other people. My thought processes, how I think, my attitudes, toward life. Sometimes my attitude toward God really needs a real going over, Or any number of things. I know I don't have to sit here and drone on because I'm sure that you're well aware. Because as believers who have the Holy Spirit living within you, I'm sure God has convicted you of those areas of your life where you've fallen short. But why did He convict you of those things? So that He could just pummel you a little while and make you feel bad about yourself and bad about your inabilities and so forth? No. The Holy Spirit reveals those areas of our life that we fall short, that He might speak a word to you about the quality of His grace and allowing Him, inviting Him to come into your life, into your heart, into your situation and saying, Lord, I want You to come and bring something of Your nature and something of Your character that is going to fill this area of my life where I have shamefully fallen short. And I believe that He will do that. I believe that He will. I think too many times we just don't ask. That's what James tells us, you have not because you ask not. But we need to invite Him to fill up those areas where we know we've fallen short. Is there a shortfall in your life? I think this is such a beautiful story. And there's tons of other things I frankly could have brought out of this story. There's all kinds of symbolic points, But lest we cover too much and forget what we're really going after here today, I really felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to speak to you today about your shortfalls and that He is waiting for you and I to invite Him in, that He might bring that quality of grace that fills and touches and renews and yes, heals. And if you're sitting there today and you're kind of wondering, is there anything God can do for me? Or maybe this situation that I'm in is beyond Him. Maybe this is a physical related issue or an emotional issue and I just don't know. Well, that's okay. You don't have to know. I know. God knows. Just invite Him to come do that work. Invite His grace to fill your life. Invite His grace to change your life. And allow the expectation of the quality of that grace to flood your heart and to make it new. Do not consider that it is your responsibility to change that situation in your life, because it is not. Your responsibility starts and stops with accepting that Christ is able and inviting Him in to do His work to change you. I think it's probably pretty safely said that we're all a bunch of people under construction. God has a lot to do left in me. Take my word for it. And I'm betting, just because I know human nature, that you've got quite a bit of construction laying ahead of you too. That's okay. We're all in the same boat. And thankfully it's not a sinking boat, because somebody we know is at the helm. And He's going to take care of us. But what He is looking for you and I to do is to offer Him up that invitation. And I have to love just that attitude of Mary who comes to Him and just... And she's not in any real position. She's not in any official... she's not the person who's there to keep track of the wine and how much there is and whether there's enough. She's just a member, an attendee at the wedding. And she's horrified that there's a shortfall. And so she comes to Jesus and just simply says, there's a shortfall. There's a shortfall. When's the last time you did that to the Lord? when you recognized something in your life that was lacking and just simply came to Him and said, Lord, I need You to know there's a shortfall in my life. And I invite You to do whatever. I love Mary's attitude. She says to the servants, just do whatever He tells you to do. Have you found yourself at times, sometime giving God advice or thinking in your mind, rehearsing what the best answer would be? You know, and even sometimes telling the Lord in prayer, you know, God, if You would just, and you'll even pray, Lord, I pray that You would bring somebody to talk to them and tell them about You, or bring somebody to, you know, and we give God all kinds of advice as if, you know, He's sitting around kind of going, gee, that's a really good idea to touch them. I don't have an idea how I'm really accomplish that. Do you, have any thoughts on how I might be able to do that? I love Mary's attitude. Just that response of just saying, just do whatever He tells you to do, okay? Just whatever. And Jesus is saying, leave it to Me. Leave it to Me. You just come and bring the shortfall to Me. I'll take care of it from there. I can handle it. Do you believe that Jesus has ways that He can deal with the shortfall of your life without your attention or without your suggestions? Do you believe that Jesus can even deal with the shortfall that you see in other people's lives or in their marriages or relationships as you're praying for people and interceding? Maybe you're just praying right now for your children and you see areas of their life that just aren't happening with the Lord, and it's just such a knee-jerk reaction for us to want to do something for our kids. But we see that shortfall. And so we need to come before the Lord to say, Lord, here's a shortfall. And that's all. And then, I don't think it's anything wrong with saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust You with that shortfall in their life. And just keep bringing it back to Him every day. Lord, there's a shortfall in my life. I'm struggling with this. There's an issue with that. You see it. You know it. And I invite You to turn water into wine. I invite You to come and do a miracle and to bring the fragrance of that work of grace, the fragrance of Your power in my life, to take whatever it is and to turn it into something good. You think that's worth praying about? Then let's stand and let's do that right now, shall we? You know, I just got to give witness to the Lord, of the Lord's goodness too, that I was feeling a real shortfall. A couple of nights ago, I could not sleep because I had this tooth that was abscessing. So I called my dentist yesterday, and last night at 8:00, I had a root canal. And I don't know, maybe if you've ever had a root canal. It's real fun. I even had to drive to Boise to have it last night at 8:00. So I got home about 10:00 after having a root canal, and I still had to go over my notes and stuff for today. And so it was another late night. First night was because I couldn't sleep because my mouth was throbbing. And then last night I just needed to kind of go through my notes and be sure I got done. And you know, I got to tell you, I was shooting up a lot of prayer and saying, you know, God, I've got a shortfall in my life here. I've got a shortfall of sleep and a shortfall of energy, and my jaw's been throbbing after that guy, was drilling for gold. I don't think he found anything, but I feel like he came through the other side sometimes. But you know, God's good, and I saw His provision today, because we just brought that. Sue and I prayed together. We just brought that shortfall to the Lord. I don't know what's exactly going on in your life, but whatever it is, I do know God wants to meet that shortfall with His grace. He's done it already. You just weren't aware of it. But there are some of those areas in His life where He wants you to invite Him. He wants you to invite Him to come and be Lord and to come and be, to do a work of grace. He's good at it. You know what? I think he longs to do it. I really do. I think He longs to show grace. And the quality of His grace. You know why? When we see the quality of His grace, all you can do is give God the glory. When I look at the quality of my marriage today, I can't say, hey, Paul, you did a great job. All I can do is say, God, You are amazing. And you know what happens to us? The same thing that happens to the disciples when they saw this miracle. It says, they saw His glory and they put their faith in Him. And the more we give over those areas of our life to Him, and we say, Lord, this is a shortfall, and we allow Him to work and to bring the quality of His grace to play in our lives, we more see His glory and put our faith in Him. So whatever it is in your life, we're going to lift it up, okay? Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, You know what's going on in our lives far better than we could even begin to know. But there are some of those areas, Lord, that You have revealed to us that we fall short. There's a lack. And as I just take a moment to pause here, I'm going to let the hearts of Your people just in the quiet of their own hearts offer up to You that lack. Lord, we take it and we just bring it to You. Just like Mary came to You and said, the wine is gone. The wine is gone. This will be a tragedy for the couple. They will never cease to bear the shame and the humiliation. Father, we just say to You, this is the area of our life that we need the quality of Your grace to fill. Fill us as only You can. Touch us as only You can. Help us to keep our hands off that work, to keep giving it to You every day and trusting You to heal us and to make us new. We look to You. We say it again. We look to You to do that work in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all God's people said together, amen. If you have a prayer need, come on up. We'd love to pray with you. God bless. You're dismissed. Stay for lunch if you can.